it's great to be able to speak in a quiet space with each other. So I'm going to stop now and ask you all to introduce yourselves in the way that you see fit, starting with Jonquil.
Sure. Thank you. So my name is Jonquil, but I also go by Johnny. And I'll start with, I guess, how I got here in a little long roundabout way and why I'm here. I was born and raised on a family farm in Northwest Indiana, about a 30-40 minute back road drive to the south side of Chicago, and beautiful farm with soy and wheat and some animals. And my family farm now is it's an upscale neighborhood with commuters to Chicago that take them about 2 hours back and forth to the city. So it's changed a whole lot in Northwest Indiana. I didn't stay very long. I left in my early teens and went to Denver and visited Southwest Montana a couple times and fell in love with it. It was love at first sight for me, and I had this huge draw. If any of you visited the first time when you came here, it was a tug, and I knew I needed to be here. I knew that somehow, some way, I was going to move here. So when opportunity presented itself, I packed my things in a U-Haul. I didn't know a soul in Bozeman. I didn't have a job, and I didn't have a place to live. But I moved here. And as we'll talk about later, I'm sure cost of living is high here, and I had two, three jobs. And then eventually I had a better job and got to know people. The sense of community is grand here, and get a better job. And eventually started my nonprofit called Sage Gardeners and met my husband. So I have a strong tug now to stay, and I feel that I'm going to live out my days here, and at least I hope I do. My nonprofit is successful now. I'm in my seventh year. We're called Sage Gardeners again, and we build accessible gardens for seniors and provide horticultural-based therapies. And I've met some really amazing people through my work, older generations that have been here forever, who were born and raised here, who are in the ag community, who are in gardening and farming their whole life and now want to keep gardening and keeping their hands in the soil. And their stories to tell are just, they're phenomenal. And I think they're priceless. It's pretty cool to be around people like that all the time.
Okay, I'm Erica Brubaker. First of all, I wish that you were in my grandmother's town so she could garden. I grew up in Idaho. I grew up in a really small town, 3,000 people, in the middle of literally nowhere in Idaho. Our county seat is 14,000 people, and it's as big as like Rhode Island, Connecticut, and New Jersey combined. So there's nobody there. I went to school in Denver for geography, and then when I graduated, I didn't know what to do, because I knew I didn't want to work behind a computer for the rest of my life. And so I went on a road trip and I visited friends all over the West, and one of them happened to live here, and where she was living was just east of the Bridgers, and you could see the whole range from her house, and I was like, okay, this is where I'm going to be. I applied to work at Bridger, work at Big Sky, teaching skiing, and got a job and decided that was it. And the last 10 years I've been in Bozeman, but for the first 8, I was ski instructing up in Big Sky, and then in the summers I would go up to Idaho and teach, or not teach, but guide whitewater rafting on the salmon and the snake. Multi-day trips where you really get a chance to know people that you wouldn't have otherwise gotten to know. But one of the things I remember when I very first moved here was coming from Denver, and the big city was, I'd be standing on the street corner here and the other person standing on the street corner would just be like, hey, how's it going? And that was amazing to me, because it was like going back to the small town in Idaho where everybody knew each other and everybody was friendly to each other. And so it was a beautiful mix between big city and small town. And then I met my husband, and we were lucky enough to be put in the situation to take over a business on Main Street, which we never, ever, ever anticipated. And so now we are the proprietors at Wild Joe's Coffee, and that's why we're staying. And it's been a really fun ride.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Well, to maintain a theme that has been mentioned here, I grew up in a small town as well, small agricultural town in the Deep South. You know, South Georgia, the other Georgia, I tell people, not Atlanta. The closest town many of you may have heard of would be Jacksonville, Florida, about 2 hours north of Jacksonville, Florida, near a swamp called the Okefenokee Swamp, which burned the other day, by the way. And during college, I had opportunity to spend a few summers out west in Wyoming. And just fell in love with the West. It was the first time I had traveled this far away from where I grew up. One summer was in Cody. And so after finishing my master's, moved out to Montana, to Billings initially for a number of years. But I was over here in the Bozeman area quite a bit, and I always knew I'd love to live in the Bozeman area at some point. What do I do here? A number of things. I'm a historian and a writer. I also do a little photography on the side, like many folks around here, I suppose. And a bit of a tech geek. I was coding back in the early 80s, so way back. And I'm the creator and owner of Yellowstone.net online, which is this year's, the site is 20 years old. Which tells us something about the internet that's been with us for quite a while, relatively speaking now. So I have a lot of interests. I love the outdoors. Really, the outdoors is what drew me here, first to Montana in general and then to Bozeman specifically. I love to hike, do nature photography, and spend a lot of time in Yellowstone especially, which is easily accessible from here in the Bozeman area. So that's a brief introduction.
Thank you, Bruce.
I did not grow up in a small town on a farm. I grew up in a big city in Madison, Wisconsin. And I was going to school there and very unhappy, having gone through a kind of ugly relationship, divorce. And my sister was driving through, and she had just moved to Bozeman. And it was in between semesters, and she says, "Why don't you come to Bozeman?" And I said, "Okay." So I put everything I owned in her Saab and my 3-speed bicycle on the roof and came out. And I've been here ever since. I've been here a couple times visiting, but I'd never stayed more than a couple days. And I'd lived in Arizona for a short while and really liked the mountains there. And so I knew I wanted to be back in the mountains, and I wanted to go to a smaller school. I didn't like the University of Wisconsin, very male athlete-driven school at the time, and I didn't appreciate that. So anyways, I'm here. And I stayed because of my sister, and also I had a brother down in Big Sky who had just moved there. Then got my residency, worked for Clutterworks, which everybody knows, Clutterworks. And he put me, Dana.
I don't know Clutterworks.
Clutterworks was Dana Design, Mystery Ranch.
So Clutterworks was the first one.
The first one. Dana Gleason.
Morphed into these things.
Yes.
Okay.
Many different phases.
What year
Mojo
was that?
Systems. It was 1980. And anyways, he put me through school working because I got my residency and he kept me on, and I became a bobcat. And then I ended up meeting my husband down in Wyoming at his brother's wedding, his brother actually was marrying one of my good friends from Wisconsin, and they were getting married in Wyoming, and we were the only two people there, and voila, here we are. And then he moved to Bozeman to be with me. We have just done many different things to make a living in Bozeman. It was very quiet, very cheap to live here when I moved. You could be a student. You could have a job. You could have an apartment. In fact, we ended up buying our first house just by fluke because houses were cheaper than rent. So we probably looked at, I don't know, maybe 50 houses under $50,000 at the time. We looked at a handful, probably 10 that were under $15,000 when we moved here. But anyways, we raised our family here, and we have three wonderful human beings, and we built a community here, and it's what keeps me, keeps us.
Thank you all. Thanks, Mary Pat. Thank you for the introductions. I guess as the moderator, I'm not supposed to be intrusive, but just I'm a bit of a novelty item, as it turns out. I was born in Bozeman, raised in Bozeman. I've lived all of my 54 years, except for 8 when I was in the Chicago area with my wife. She was getting her medical residency training. So that's where I come into the conversation, I guess, as being somebody who's from here. Not that it makes a giant difference, but there you have it. I'm curious because I didn't choose to come here. I didn't choose to be born. I just came out, and here I was. But all of you have made intentional decisions, right? It's been a choice for you to come here. And you might have done otherwise in your lives, but you came here, you were attracted for the various reasons that we've heard, because it's scenic, because it's inexpensive, because people are friendly, because it's small. And, you know, the scenery only gets you so far, right? After a while, you need, you know, gainful employment and meaningful human connections. And so I want to delve into that domain in a little bit, conversation, if you will oblige. And that is to talk about the community that you feel in this city and what community. First of all, it's a two-part question. What is community for you? And what is your role in making community happen as a person? That would be my question for all four of you, or anyone who would like to start off. That'd be fantastic. What is community for you? How do you make community happen as an individual? What's your part in making that happen?
For me, community is being connected and giving of your time. Not sitting back and letting others do it, but being a participant. And putting that time in, whether it's in volunteering, whether it's in your work, whether it's in working with people, but making those connections and having that network of friends and family. I mean, I'm lucky, most of my family ended up moving to Montana from all over the place, and they're here, and it makes it that much richer. If I was to leave, you would lose all of that connectedness and having to start all over again. And to me, giving of your time to others and the community and building those relationships is what it's about.
Mm-hmm. So for you, it's the human relationship. That's how you define the word community.
To me, yes.
Mm-hmm. And also there's that sense of throwing yourself into it. That it's not something that you get to enjoy necessarily as much as you enjoy it as you create it yourself.
Yeah. My husband and I spent a year up in isolation up in northern Canada, and we spent a lot of time by ourselves and had a lot of headspace, and basically the only thing we missed was community, was family and friends. You can take everything away from people, but that's what they're going to miss, and that's what they're going to need. And to me, that's what it is. It can be surroundings, but I think it's more about that human connection. It really is.
Yeah, and that's a beautiful way of thinking about it, and there also might be others, and I'm curious to know what the other three, when you think about that word community, what comes to mind for you, what emerges as community?
Well, to add on to that just a little bit, I live downtown, and I think it's easier in a downtown setting where you have a lot of people who have lived there a long time, you know, your neighbors, and I think a lot of newcomers who are in the suburban area, it's harder for them to get involved in the community. But I think what's most important part of sense of community is being a good neighbor, taking care of your neighbors. And if we take care of our neighbors and we're there for each other, I think it's going to build a stronger sense of community, not right within the downtown area, but in the areas outside of it, whether we're up in Bear Canyon or in Durston, I mean, just newer subdivisions. I think being a good neighbor and watching out for others around us is going to create a stronger sense of community too. Mm-hmm. So being there for each other, because I think a lot of people from bigger cities don't have that, and I think that they are maybe shocked by it. As you said, someone's at the corner, you say hi to each other, and they're not used to it. And I think if you're there, here, you want me to water your lawn while you're gone next week? You want me to take care of mm-hmm. your needs while you're not around? Or just being there for your senior community members too? I think that's going to strengthen our community as well.
Yeah, and that's wonderful, and it also brings to mind for me that takes effort.
It sure
I mean,
is, yeah.
Do you actually find yourself thinking the thought, I want to be a good neighbor to this person?
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's actually a conscious thought yeah. for you that you then follow through to the next.
Well, yeah. Yeah. And we don't want to be the... And I remember reading something in a letter to the editor maybe a year ago. Somebody out in the western Belgrade-Bozeman area, they were doing new construction, and the contractors next door borrowed somebody's water to clean off the sidewalk because they didn't have water. And the owner came out, and they were so mad, and they started complaining and yelling and saying, you use my hose, you use my water to clean off the sidewalk, blah, blah, blah. And they were so mad, and this person was, like, witnessed it, or I'm not sure the exact details of it, but was really upset that they saw this conflict, because mm-hmm. that's not Bozeman, it's not Gallatin County, it's not Montana Valley. Mm-hmm. So I think, yeah, I think we need to... We teach new people and teach others who may have been born and raised here that if they don't do it, that they can strengthen it.
I would say very similar to both of you. I know when I was doing my very transient life of here for the winter and in Idaho for the summer, that was the one thing that I was like, man, I don't have, if I died on the way to Idaho, nobody would know, because nobody in Montana has any connection with anybody in Idaho, and I don't have that community of people that would be like, where did Erica go? She just didn't show up. And so when I bought a house in a neighborhood and my neighbors they're amazing, and we buy mowers together because mm-hmm. why do we each need our own mower? And that sense of community, and then also as a newish business owner, the sense of small local business community and just helping each other grow through your businesses and supporting other small local businesses, I think, is also really important.
Absolutely. Thank you. Bruce?
I think all of these descriptions are great, and I resonate with all of them. I tend to think in imagery sometimes. And I guess the image that comes to mind of what I think of as community, what it is, I think, for many of us here, what is for me, what it can be, is a healthy coral reef.
Pardon?
Coral reef. I know we don't have coral reefs anywhere near
here. I'm like, what's this boy talking about?
I know.
I get alfalfa, sure. You think this is a hay reference?
But you know, in a healthy coral reef, and we're aware of this today because of global warming and what's happening with some of the corals around in our oceans around the world. But there's diversity and there's beauty. There's a symbiotic relationship, mutual dependency, mutual beneficiality, if you will. Everyone helps. Each part of that coral reef helps the others be a holistic community. And I think there's some good imagery in that. In addition to what's been said, I like the fact that this is a university community. And I love the stimulation, I bet you guys do too, involved in a university community that's small enough that it has a somewhat of an intimate setting, if you will. I think it enriches what we have here in terms of for a town this size, in terms of the opportunities that are available for us to participate in. I've enjoyed participating in many things and volunteering in a number of things, and there's ample opportunity, it seems to me, for any of us to become involved in some capacity or more within this community. I think it's uplifting for everyone.
And there's people that ask you to participate.
That's right.
That's right. There are people who ask you to participate, yeah. And this has happened for you. Are you speaking of yourself as a business yeah. owner, or just in your home, in your neighborhood, or how did that asking you happen?
Oh, well, I mean, I was just referring to Steve asking me to participate tonight, which if there was no sense of community, then I wouldn't know him, he wouldn't know me, he wouldn't ask, we wouldn't be here.
Yeah, that's an excellent thought. And when Jonquil was speaking, she said that, well, she said, first of all, people living in the sort of the northwestern quadrant of the western sectors of town, which are the fast-growing edge of town, one of the fast-growing edges, that this sense of community might not be taking root as firmly as in other places or among other neighborhoods. Do you think that community has this sort of... Is that a question of the built environment itself not maybe lending itself to more neighborliness? Is it just the fact that these folks are newcomers out there? You seem to think that we need to show them what community values.
Invite them in. Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of growing families that move from downtown who need better affordable housing or larger homes for their growing family. So not everybody's a transplant, but there are a lot of transplants in new neighborhoods. And I think, yeah, I mean, not necessarily saying this is how we do things, because that's a turnoff too, but maybe being the person who shows the goodness of Montana and mm-hmm. being an example. Mm-hmm. Maybe just spreads faster.
I kind of think that Bozeman tends to have too big of a focus on the downtown. I think we have a thriving, healthy downtown, and we're always trying to bring everybody in there, and it can't sustain everybody. And that I think having these other centers would be awesome. Why does everything have to be downtown? Why does Music on Main have to be in that section of Main Street? Why can't we have it out towards the mall? Or why not have it out East Main? Or I don't know, but
I'm sorry,
it's like...
I don't mean to talk over you, but what if I said right now, as a Weisenheimer disclaimer, Mary Pat lives very near downtown.
Well, I do, but I was just thinking in terms of these outlying neighborhoods, they need events to have an identity, to sure. have that sure. shared experience. It's yeah. like, why can't they host it? It doesn't have to be downtown. It could be Durston neighborhood.
Sure.
Why
sure.
can't they could have a farmer's market out at the dinosaur park? They could have a farmer's market. It could be in these other locations. Not mm-hmm. everything has to be yeah. downtown. There's no parking for anybody downtown.
It could be elsewhere, right? But it is downtown mostly. And
but in terms of the community, let's
right.
Let's
but as a built environment, which is one of my great interests, as it is one of Jonquil's husband's great interests, because he's building our environment. The built environment downtown is like a big living room in a way, because the buildings are snug up against the sidewalk. They're not too large. They don't overwhelm you. They sort of embrace you. It's a place for events. It lends itself to those sorts of activities. Plus the fact that some of those buildings go back to the 1870s, so it's steeped in history. It has a sense of place and identity to it. So there's that kind of serenity, I think, that you get from oldness. And to be able to duplicate that out of the box in a brand new neighborhood might be a bit of a challenge.
Well, I don't know if it necessarily has to be everything. It's just spread the wealth. Let's mm-hmm. just spread it around. And that way, people in downtown would maybe go to that neighborhood and see what it's all about.
Sure,
I don't go to the suburbs. I mean, I don't have any reason to. But if there was some event, maybe I would.
Well, like over where the Birdseed Company is in Cold Smoke, they could close that off easily and do like a little food fest area or
sure.
music and that street mm-hmm. fest. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it could happen. That's a cute little area.
Mm-hmm. This could be the birth of an idea.
Yeah.
Street festivals.
Oh, no, it's
yeah,
not the birth.
Yeah.
It's been out there.
It's been out there for you, right? But it's not been happening, so maybe it hasn't caught enough attention elsewhere.
Sure.
But that would be a lovely idea. You know, little corridors in neighborhoods that mm-hmm. could open themselves up to festivals, fairs, one-day-long events, whatever mm-hmm. it might be. Mm-hmm. It's a great idea. It's a wonderful idea.
What happens in more culturally diverse cities? We just need to build on that, and that, which is the downside of Bozeman, is we're not as diverse as we should be or could be. And that in itself lends to more block events or parties where they have like little festivals and things like that.
For example,
you know, yeah. So the Northeast side will eventually have bigger events as it's growing and becoming an older community. And
Erica seemed like you wanted to jump in.
I have always struggled with two sides of my life. Do I want to live in the country in a cabin, or do I want to live downtown next to a little grocery store and be able to walk everywhere? But I know that living in Denver, I loved all the little neighborhoods that you could go to this neighborhood and do this, and you can go to this neighborhood and do that, and you can go to this neighborhood. But what I hated about Denver was how it went on forever, and nothing went up and everything went out. And I am so scared that that's what's going to happen here, that everything is going to continue to move into these own little separate neighborhoods instead of creating a really vibrant space downtown. That shouldn't be those little, you know, community centers in the neighborhoods, but we have such an amazing landscape for it to just continue to grow out like Denver is. Just scares me.
What does it take? First of all, we know that it takes intention. All of you came here because you made choices and you had the intention to come and you followed through. And you all seem to have very rich personal lives and you feel great connections to others here. And those all have been because of intentions first and then the actions that were paired to them. And following up on what you're saying, Erica, it would be quite possible for the intention of the community to say, yes, in my backyard.
Right.
We will have that happen downtown. Yeah, but there's an authentic tension between that and those who find that their neighborhood quality is going to be degraded by that.
A lot of people that live in those communities out on South 19th live out there because they wanted to be outside of the city and they wanted to be out in the wilderness. But if we're continually growing out to meet them... then they're not where they want to be anymore anyway, and they've got to move farther out.
I remember reading something about sprawl back in the 90s, and it was a testimony by an individual who had left the Rocky Mountain front, the Denver area, and he had left New Mexico, Albuquerque before that, and he had left some other community before that, and he said he was always trying to get away from the sprawl, and then he realized that he was the tip of the arrow of sprawl. And so I don't know I don't want to present conundrums here. I think what we're trying to talk about is what makes community, and what we find is that it's intention to have human connection. And in this current climate in which we live with such fast-paced growth, what do you see to be our opportunity moments to make good on this notion of community? How can we carry our intentions into this sort of turbulent 4.5% growth per year environment? How do we maintain this intentional sense of community while all this is happening around?
Steve, I just want to speak as one who actually lives out in the suburbs, kind of on the edge in the Churchill area. And so we live in a little neighborhood out there, and I'm surrounded by farmland. I grew up in the kind of small farming community. I like that. But I'm here in town a lot, and it's easy to get to here in town. There's some intentionality in that, to come here to visit with, to be a part of things going on here in town, whether it be volunteering or spending time with friends. For a number of years, I would be in Wild Joe's every week, meeting with friends in Wild Joe's, for example. And so I think in the dynamics of this and thinking about how things are sprawling, I'm glad the sprawl hasn't reached out as far where we are, and I hope it really
is. Weight, my friend?
I've lived in other places, and I've witnessed sprawl in other places, you know, and I don't want to see that. But Bozeman is... For one who does live out kind of on the edges, I really consider myself to be as much a Bozemanite, if you will, as a Valleyite, and very much appreciate having Bozeman really close by. And I think a lot of folks live in the perimeter would say that as well.
Mm-hmm. I think in this really fast-paced growth that we have going on, we have the opportunity to say, we are growing super fast. Which way do we want to grow? And how do we make that happen?
And I, because I served on the Bozeman City Commission two terms from 1999 to 2007, and our growth rate was fast then, but this is faster. And it's still five people trying to manage what is now a city of, what, 45,000? There's less time to think. And most of what happens at the commission table now strikes me as reactive. And I'm not saying that as a criticism. I'm saying that as an observation of how fast-paced things are. So the pace of life, the speed of life, actually sort of militates against the contemplative, intentional community making. So that's my question, and I'm drilling you guys a little bit with this question to see if we can't find ways to keep our cool and maintain those values that each one of you eloquently spoke to at the beginning, which is human connection. How do we do that at a 4.5% growth rate?
I think we stop and meditate about it. I think we don't be reactive. I think there's a lot of pressure to give the ball to the builders, to the developers, because there's a very big need for housing in Bozeman. There's a huge, huge need. And I don't think that's the right person to take charge and to make those types of building decisions. I think they're right now in Bozeman, they're rewriting the code for buildings, and there's this no person's land that is between downtown and the rest of everybody else, and this whole transition between R2 and B3, there's nothing to protect those residents. Mm-hmm. There's nothing to protect them. So someone like me, who is on that border, you say build up. Build up, I'm going to have a five-story building in my backyard with all those people looking in my backyard. I mean, I don't think that's the way to go. I think you have to have really thought out ways of doing it. It has to happen. I agree with you. But going up is not necessarily the way to do it. I think that there is a way to do it. I'm not sure. I don't have the answers. But we have to stop and think and not just build.
She said stop.
Just stop.
Mm-hmm. You said stop. And that is very challenging.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When I was in politics, I would have many conversations with people who would just sort of, with an automatic, almost robotic tone in the voice, say, well, if you ain't growing, you're dying. And you can't stop growth. But you said the word stop. And that's an extraordinarily challenging word to basically Earth's inhabitants. We appear to be a species that is predicated on growth.
Just because you stop doesn't mean that you're not growing. It's just that you're not acting. You're meditating. You're thinking. You're trying to figure out. You're not just like, we need this. We got to build it.
So when you say stop, you don't mean moratorium. You don't mean that the city council will put an emergency interim ordinance into effect that would stop all new applications.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm open.
Okay.
Totally open.
I just wanted to know what that word stop meant for you, actually. Did it mean pause and breathe in a sort of Buddhistic sense, or did it mean something more concrete and legalistic? I think it means both. But Erica was chomping at the bit, and I talked over it. Go ahead.
That's okay. I just wanted to say that I live in one of the neighborhoods that was recently rezoned, and my neighbors that I love were in the same boat as you, very upset that we got rezoned. And of course, I don't want a five-story building next to me either. But what I don't want more than that is to not be able to go hike on the Gallatin and only and see that open space, or not be able to drive out to Spring Hill and there only be a few houses. That's to me what is more important than sharing the space of my neighborhood with the other people that enjoy this.
And I think
city.
It needs to be shared. I totally agree with you, but how it gets shared is the big issue.
Mary Pat, each year, millions and millions of people, well, this is before the ghastly acts of terrorism, but each year, millions and millions of people flock to cities like Rome and Paris and London, which are built at levels of density which you would probably find unconscionable, right? But Paris, it was built on a seven-story format, right? That's seven stories. That's not what we're talking about, mid-rise buildings. It's not a 15, 20, 30, 40-story building. Right. It's seven stories. And people go there from all corners of the world to enjoy that.
There's no mountains in Paris.
Well, but what I'm trying to say is, I'm not trying to undermine your perspective, but what I'm trying to say is it a certain amount of stubbornness, maybe?
I don't know
parts?
If it's stubbornness.
Because we're used to it?
It's like, it's sort of like this air pollution that, it's like, I remember when I came to Bozeman, it's like, four stories, maybe five stories was like the max of any building around. And now it's like everything is five, seven stories. Everything is getting so tall. It's like every year my view shed gets smaller and smaller. Not to say that I need the view shed, but it just is another pollutant.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you talk about the sprawl going this way. Well, there's sprawl that would go this way that is almost as bad if you're living in an area. I mean, where do you see the mountains from downtown if you've got these high-rises?
And I think that your perspective and Erica's are not in conflict.
No, I don't think so
because
either.
Because you're two people who value the same place.
Mm-hmm.
And you express your values in different ways, and you have different sorts of personal ways of dealing with closeness of others. But oftentimes I think we're thrust into these conflicts, right? It's a conflict. Infill versus sprawl.
Overfill.
Do it here, do it downtown where it makes sense, or, you know, lose the countryside to more sprawl.
Yeah.
We face draconian choices, but I'm wondering if those are not illusions. That is, the choice itself is an illusion. Like, we have to choose between densifying and infilling our environment or facing relentless sprawl where there are homes all along that East and West Gallatin, everything is going to be paved over. Are those really our only choices? We're intentional human beings, which is the part that we start on this evening. We're intentional human beings. We create our environments. We create our communities. What stops us from creating the community that we want? What stops us from creating the community that you want and the one that you want at the same time? What I'm trying to say is, do we have to have densification of the acreage in our already known world of the downtown and the near downtown neighborhoods? Do we have to densify that in order to preserve farmland? Or is that actually a false bargain because we know that the county has no regulation over land development with the exception of non-degradation laws passed by the state against, you know, water degradation, and they have some, you know, resident initiated zoning districts, but other than that, it's pretty much anyone's ball game.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so,
that the whole thing with the coding and the laws, that's what we need to pause and rework and try and make it save Bozeman for what it is, but you can still densify the core if that's what people want. But you have to do it smart. You can't just build a five-story building with 50 units and then think that all those people that move in there aren't going to have boats and cars and skis and bikes and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Where are they going to put them?
Mm-hmm.
They came here to play. Where's all that going?
Bruce and then Erica.
One of the things that impressed me about Bozeman years ago, living in Billings, was the viewscape. and the low regulations on signage that can be up at a certain level. And I've traveled much of the country. That's unusual to see that. There aren't many places that have that. But I think the viewscape in many ways, what you're getting at, is kind of a heart and soul in some ways, mm-hmm. of what makes Bozeman special for many people, what makes this valley special for many people. I think I would say that in some ways it lifts the human spirit, in a sense, the viewscape does. And so, you know, the conundrum being that as more and more people move in, of course, then the viewscape cannot help, in a sense, but be threatened, if you will. I don't know where that balance is, but I fear that if the viewscape goes away, I think it's going to kind of damage in some ways the human spirit, mm-hmm. if you will, that Bozeman represents mm-hmm. to a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Whatever phraseology you might want to use for that. I think
human
that's
spirit is welcome.
I know what it is, but I think it helps us soar, I think, in many ways. Mm-hmm. For me, I would say that. Mm-hmm. Being here, living here, mm-hmm. uplifts my spirit. Mm-hmm. Maybe is one way to say that. The community of people, and then the landscape as well, together, I think are uplifting.
So in other words, it's community is people, it's neighbors, it's intentions, it's also earth, right?
It is.
It's also where we live and how we arrange ourselves in this place.
I think so.
But the place itself needs to be felt. And I get the sense from your comment is we need to preserve that ability to feel close to the place that is the earth.
Right? I think we do. I think it's special. Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
In reference to what you're talking about, I know every time we go somewhere, we go, you know, someplace beautiful, it's amazing, and we are driving back to Bozeman and we're like, man, this is way prettier than where we just were, that everyone else is like, woo, let's go travel there. We get back and we're like, there's the Bridgers and the Spanish Peaks and it's beautiful. And in your comment is of being close to the earth, you know, for me that's having the quietness of the outer space of the city and maybe growing to 5 or 7 stories on the inside, to which I don't think would ruin the scenescape or what you were calling it. It obviously compromises it for those that don't have a 5-story home to go to the top floor. But then I most of all wanted to go back to your initial question of how do we keep community in the growth. And to me, I think especially working in a place where we see so many people, it's just smiling and knowing people's names and having meaningful conversations with anybody.
This reminds me of a conversation I had with a friend of mine who was an environmental economist. And it was over the discussion of Walmart here. And so many people don't like it, yet it may employ your neighbor, or they may employ your neighbor, or they may offer discounted food to the people down the street who your kids go to school with, you know, and they help them in a different way that we don't see. And his response to that was, there's just no easy answers, any of them. Mm-hmm.
I do not think there are any easy answers. And so let me throw out an uneasy making notion. To preserve these qualities that we've all been speaking about, stop growing. Stop. No new annexations. No new subdivisions. Anything that's already in the pipeline, of course you'll review it. Anybody who wants to expand a business, obviously they can do that. Anybody who wants to put a granny flat behind their house, yeah, of course that's all good to go. But we're not going to consume another foot of the earth. We're going to stop.
Then prices are inflated and it becomes an elitist town.
Prices would go up. So this notion of stopping would be too hardcore.
Yeah.
It would cause consequences that nobody wants. That's your sense.
That's what I think. Yeah.
Other thoughts?
Affordable housing. Make it mandatory.
isn't, I mean, obviously affordable housing isn't always a multiplex unit, but...
I know, it's not.
But in lots of cases it is.
But it doesn't have to be.
It doesn't have to be.
I mean, if we're hypothetically stopping, we might as well hypothetically say it's got to be affordable housing.
Right.
You know, let's put some stops on a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you can put a stop on one, mm-hmm. you can change others.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, nothing is easy.
Nothing is easy.
Free.
That's why I threw out this uneasy-making mm-hmm. question, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because we're told, I'm told, I've always been told that you need to meet demand with supply. And the only way to get yourself out of a situation in which people are struggling to get into your community, which we all have done here, right, is to make more units. But in every fast-growing community that I've ever experienced as a human being, I'm not an economist, I'm just saying what I've seen, what I've heard, what I've felt, what I've experienced, the faster you grow, the more expensive it is. Does the opposite hold true? The slower you grow, the less expensive you are? And if that is the case, what's wrong with stop?
Yeah. Or pause. Or slow. Or meditate.
I don't think we as a community have that option. We can't tell, you know, we can't put a travel ban on Bozeman. Nobody come in.
Oh, of course not.
So how do we stop
Absolutely.
Growth?
You don't stop growth. You stop to think, how is the growth going to go? Because it's inevitable that it is growing. You can't stop the growth, but you can stop the process of how.
No. My question was more radical. It's not inevitable. You stop it. Because
you
say
no.
People
come?
Yeah, you just say no. No, people can come, but where are they going to go? Everybody, there's no travel ban in the U.S. People can go wherever they want.
Mm-hmm.
So you can come to Bozeman, and if someone is leaving a house, you can buy it. But if no one's leaving a house, then you can't buy it. That's not against the law, because it's been challenged all the way to the U.S. Supremes, and they found that communities can stop.
And we'll end up like Aspen.
Well, let's talk about that. Wind up like that as...
It's not necessarily a good thing. People can't afford to live in Aspen. All of the employees that work in Aspen live out in way, way beyond.
Jackson
like
the employees
and Joyce. Yeah. In Bozeman?
Yeah, right. We're doing that.
We're going to live off by Bruce.
I'd love to live in Churchill. It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
But that wouldn't necessarily solve your problem, the problem of the sprawl of moving out, because
mm-hmm.
once you're out of the city limits, then you're in the county.
Mm-hmm.
So all of that could continue to go.
Of course.
No easy answers.
Pardon me?
No easy answers.
No, of course not. Not easy answers, but I think...
So let's use this question. What would make you leave? What change would make you leave? What would be the bottom...
No water,
no canned goods.
I mean, what would the growth get to, or the downtown get to, that you would just say, this isn't where I want to be anymore? You would sacrifice your community, your friends, your family, your home, to go someplace different. What would that Bozeman look like?
I can answer that question.
Okay.
Because we're doing it, in my opinion. It would be a city with sort of ordinary, somehow people think they're okay suburbs connected by 6 to 8 lane highways like Oak and like Valley Center and Davis, and people would have no choices. They would have to get in their car. They wouldn't be able to choose to walk to shop or choose to walk to get entertainment or to go to a restaurant. They would have to watch carefully their children because the roadways would be so crazy that you could never trust your child to cross them. The elderly would be incredibly hindered in their mobility in the city because of the way that it got built out with highways. When I was on the commission, I remember I pinky swore with the city manager back then, we will never build anything more than a four-lane road. We will never have a speed limit higher than 35 miles per hour. That didn't last. Growth, the way that we know it, whether it's smart growth or not smart growth, growth the way that we know it appears to be dystopic because it's just too much. I don't know what the ideal amount is, but I would imagine it'd be less than 1% a year. Right now, we're growing at more than 4.
So
if this continues, this will drive me from Bozeman. This is where I was born and raised. This will drive me from Bozeman.
Where will you
but
go?
By that time, I'll be old enough. I won't have no friends. Nobody will miss me.
Everybody will be dead.
They'll be like, hey, he wasn't in his bed this morning. What do you suppose happened?
But where will you go? Another city that's smaller, that's growing too?
I'm not going to tell you, man, because then you'll go there too.
Well, I hear that. You hear that a lot, that people say, well, Bozeman's growing too fast. I'm going to another city. But that's exactly what is happening here, and they're going to another city, and they're...
No, I agree with you.
Maybe they're not going to another town that's growing.
I will never leave Bozeman.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I will never leave Bozeman, but I'm not here to say that, you know, a lot of people feel this obligation. I sense that they feel an obligation. They say, I have nothing to complain about. We live in paradise. I'm like, actually, first of all, it's human life. It's not paradise, right? And secondly, there are problems. And can we talk about them? I love your notion of pausing. And I love it of stopping for a brief period of time to reconnoiter, to be able to deal with the situation after we've detoxed from the excitement, the pandemonium, the inability for me to have a long thought. I like to think. That's kind of my job. And it's harder to think in Bozeman than it used to be, I find. I'm just a little bit stirred up.
Mm-hmm. I think that's true. I would say the same thing.
I think for me, this notion of community is also tied in with the earth. I think humanity is tied in with the earth. I think we as people are, we as a community, or there's some kind of relationship there. I think for me, it would be if I no longer felt that this community was tied in, if you will, with the earth, broadly speaking, in a healthy way, with the environment in a healthy way. And I will look for some place, I might well look for some place in which there was community that had some kind of meaningful relationship with environment and with earth. I don't know where that tipping point would be. Mm-hmm. But my fear is, I mean, I've read projections down the road, 100,000, 200,000 maybe one day. You know, what does that do to the valley? What does it do to that community connection with environment and earth? And it seems to me they can't help but be detrimental at some point. Unless... maybe there's a lot of intentionality that's put into thinking about and taking the time to think through that. And maybe taking some bold steps as a part of that.
Erica, I see you thinking. I can see
I'm
it
thinking,
happening.
I'm thinking most about a friend of mine who just finished grad school, and her project, which was actually focused in Big Sky, and she did a ton of research about the happiness index and growth and how to create a sustainable, happy community and what those factors were. And one of the main factors is environment, because people aren't happy if they don't have parks and water and all of that, which to me is the outlying part of the city. So I was just mostly wishing she was here to share all of her really amazing info that she gathered.
Mm-hmm. Johnny? You've been sitting there, but I know you're not just sitting there.
Well, I'm thinking, I'm taking it all in. It's tough. We move here because we love what is in Bozeman. We love the amenities. We love the amazing restaurants that we have downtown and the coffee shops and our bookstore. And we love flocking to downtown and Bozeman specifically, or Bozeman and downtown specifically. And we wouldn't have all these thriving places if we didn't have people to support them. So it's tough. It's tough. We need people. We need people. to make a community. We need to support our businesses, and things thrive because of it.
What's your favorite spot, Roger?
In the spring, my favorite spot is the Lower Madison going to Three Forks on the river.
I actually just told my husband this last night, and he didn't know this. I try and find a spot where I can look out and not see fences or stone walls or electric poles or anything, and those are my favorite spots. And I look every year for them, and I love them because you don't see that in many places. I mean, Montana, Bozeman, Gallatin Valley, we have them. I love them. I look for them all the time, winter, spring, summer.
So there are some you know.
I'm not going to tell you. Well, there's a lot.
Smart person.
Some of my favorite spots here in town are actually coffee shops. Sitting around with people I know and getting to meet new people. It's community. And it's a great place for community. Now, if we move outside of the town, my living room, we have a panoramic view of the Rockies, you know, around here, unobstructed. And that's worth $1 million to me.
Yeah.
You know, it's worth $1 million. And then, you know, broadly speaking, you know, Yellowstone. So, you know, there's... Bozeman represents community of a sense to gather with people and have some meaningful conversation and to do some meaningful things together. There's also that component to me that wants the quietness and the connection to the earth and to the environment. And so they're all here, in my estimation.
That's nice.
I wouldn't say I have one favorite spot, and I think that's one of the things I love about Bozeman is there's, you know, I go to the Gallatin or I can go hike in the Bridgers or Highlight or over to Paradise Valley, and there's always almost too many options to even choose what you're going to do for your fun day.
Thank you, everyone, for sometimes difficult but rewarding conversation. It's my pleasure to be here with you.
Thank you.
Thank you.